Welcome to Holistic Accountant Podcast, where we aim to showcase how adopting a holistic approach in accounting and tax maximizes value for clients. Beyond traditional tasks like preparing financial statements and tax returns, a holistic accountant focuses on offering advice that maximizes personal wealth on an after-tax basis. If you enjoy this episode, please consider leaving a rating and sharing it with those who might also benefit. And to ensure you stay updated, subscribe to our weekly email. The link is in the show notes. Okay, today, Mina, I would like to talk about effective marketing for accountants. You know, what are accountants selling out there that when we see it, we sort of end up rolling our eyes? And the aim is to kind of help you through that quagmire of marketing. Unfortunately, I think it's easy to sniff out something that's quite aggressive from a marketing perspective. But ultimately, what you want from your accountant, from our perspective, is you want someone that's going to make sure they help you save tax, but not be too aggressive. At the end of the day, we want to stay out of jail. We want to stay out of the purview of the ATO. We just want to be able to do what we're supposed to be doing and do it well, but also take the opportunity to minimize tax. So you don't want a cowboy, of course. So we thought we'd talk about some of the things that we see out there that are really very tax focused that ultimately we don't think drive long-term value for clients. And the first one is marketing on the basis of turning a refund around very quickly. You know, sometimes you see it like, you know, lodge today and you'll have your money in your account 3 days later or something like that. Of course, we want the money in our account as quick as possible. We don't want the ATO to hang on to it, but I don't think that should be their core competency of an accountant. Our view is a holistic accountant should build a relationship with the client. Saving tax is a very big element of what they do, but only one of many elements that are ultimately going to drive long-term value.
Yeah, tax agents don't really have a say how quick the ATO can turn around, let alone have a say on anything else with the ATO. But the second thing is, and my personal favourite, is motor vehicles. Now, I know a lot of accountants sort of market this as a way of sort of mitigating tax and helping you save money whilst getting into a sort of a new flashy car. And generally, the clients are happy because they've got a new flashy car, but they don't know the numbers behind it. Motor vehicles actually are not a great tax-saving method. They're a depreciating asset for one. Number two, a short only be purchased out of necessity more than anything else. And number three, there's certain limits in terms of luxury car limits and so forth. Electric vehicles, obviously, the exception here in terms of providing a higher amount of tax savings than regular combustion vehicles, obviously, as long as you abide by the sort of the luxury car limits. But the overall cash outflow, if you're just upgrading a vehicle for the sake of it, will not actually save you any tax.
Another thing that we see that brings tears to our eyes is investing in certain assets purely to chase tax benefits. I was working on a client just yesterday, in fact, where he had made a significant investment in sandalwood, some sort of tree to produce some sandalwood oil. He invested, I think it was about $240,000 many years ago. And unfortunately, apparently, the price of sandalwood oil has fallen through the floor and it's no longer a viable investment. Who would have guessed it was not a viable investment? But there's been a lot of these agri investments that have gone around over the years. I've only seen one, and it hasn't paid out yet, one potential one that might actually return some money. But notwithstanding, you lose the money, you lose the time as well and the opportunity cost associated with that investment. Another common one is buying a property off the plan because, you know, you can get the depreciation benefits and maybe the rental income yield is a little bit higher and so forth. Look, some of these things might save you tax. For example, the failed sandalwood investment is going to crystallize a capital loss. That's fantastic for tax planning. I don't think it actually serves the client's purpose in terms, which is ultimately to build wealth, but certainly very tax effective. Make sure a great investment is one that crystallizes a tax liability. That's what you really want. Hopefully one day, if you make an investment today, in 20 years time, you're going to have to pay a whole lot of capital gains tax. That's what you really want, because that means the investment has done really well and you keep 3/4 of the gain and you pay 1/4 of the gain to the ATO, it's not that big a deal because you're still 3 times better off than the ATO. Now, of course, you don't want to pay tax. You should minimize as much as possible. But ultimately, investing is about building wealth.
The other one is unnecessarily upgrading equipment. So very similar to motor vehicles, you tend to get sort of recommendations on sort of upgrading, you know, your computer hardware, your phones or whatever it is. Again, clients tend to be happy because, you know, they've got a new system to work with or a new phone or new technology, but doesn't necessarily serve you well in terms of your actual business. And you're just upgrading something for the sake of upgrading it, because it's nice and flashy. Your cash outflows actually would outweigh sort of any really tax benefits, and you've still got multiple assets for no particular reason.
Another one we see is salespeople. I'm going to call them salespeople because I really probably shouldn't call them accountants, that recommend setting up very complex structures, overly complex, unnecessarily complex structures. And I've seen many of these sorts of businesses and approaches over the years, and they really appeal to people that are so tax focused, you know, that they say, well, I want to minimize tax as much as possible. And they come up with these convoluted, ridiculous ideas on how this not only provides asset protection, because often that's a big selling point that they use as well, but also will help you minimize tax. The consequence of that, though, is really it generates a lot of fee income for them, at least initially and upfront. And then the more entities you have and the more complexity you have, the higher your ongoing fees are as well. Now, I'm not talking people out of getting advice in terms of how they should structure their business and their overall tax affairs. Absolutely, it can be very worthwhile to get some good quality advice in that regard. And I'm also not talking people out of implementing certain structures, but you just want to have a balanced approach. And ultimately, it's got to be in the best interest of the client, not the best interest of the person that's providing that advice. So hopefully those tips help you sort of navigate this world of dodgy accountants. Hopefully there's not too many dodgy ones out there, and see through some of the marketing ploys that are out there. Ultimately, what you want to deal with is an accountant that's going to think about your best interest. There's along for the long-term ride with in terms of not only helping you save tax, but ultimately helping you improve your overall financial position. Okay, that's it for us for this week. Until next week, bye for now.